Hey, I'm Michael.
And I'm Greg.
And we're two new dads and the co-founders of a company called Lalo and your hosts of the Dad Pod, where we talk with cool dads doing cool stuff so we can learn a thing or two. Today on the pod, we're joined by Will Jadara, a restaurateur and former co-owner of Make It Nice Hospitality and a founding member of the Independent Restaurant Coalition, an organization that represents independent restaurants across America. Today, we talk to Will about the lessons he's learned over the years from his parents and find out what he's been doing to prepare for the birth of his first kid. Holy shit. Jace turns one next week. Insane. I mean, Gemma's almost 14 months now. Does it feel like yesterday?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I mean, I keep saying to Nikki, we're not parents, a baby anymore. It's it's so funny because I said to her, we're in the baby phase at that point. We have an old kid now. That also makes us old too, but it's surreal.
Oh, 1 year is old.
Yeah, exactly. And also just obviously given the pandemic, 1 year, truly 1 year into this pandemic, and now we also have a one-year-old. It's so bizarre. When Gemma turned one, what were the thoughts going through your head?
I mean, first, we got so many texts from friends that were like, you made it, you got through a year, which, I think that was warranted. It was a bit, especially this year, especially now, I don't know if you feel this in the 10, 9 months plus, that's where it started getting real. Definitely in the first 4 months, it was great being home. But now once they're mobile, that's where the challenge began, especially in the pandemic, because you were limited in how much you can get outside and do things.
Yeah.
But when she turned one, I just couldn't believe it. First of all, I barely remember being in the hospital, what it felt like to be in the hospital. That feels so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so long ago. So much has changed. Everything changes so fast in these moments. I think also around 8-9 months when their brain really starts to learn, you can see them learning. And those moments to me were amazing. So it wasn't so much as the moment of her turning one. That was really special. Obviously we had our parents and stuff over to have a little celebration, but it's just every day now is whoa, she's learning something. Today, she started saying dog, she used to say hi to every dog we pass on the street. And now she says dog as we walk by. And she's got an insane amount of vocabulary for a 14-month-old. Which is proving already she can express exactly what she wants in a way that is challenging us. So we live in awe every day. Yeah. And I think that was true when she turned one.
Yeah. I mean, definitely things have just accelerated incredibly quickly in terms of learning. Just seeing him he's had this tower of these balls that stack on top of each other. And for the longest time, he would just play with them individually. And all of a sudden the other day, he starts stacking them one by one in the exact order on top of each other. And I'm when did you learn this? How did this just all start clicking for you?
When did it click?
Yeah, exactly. When did this happen? Literally overnight? You were sleeping and I figured that tower out now. I got this tomorrow. How does that happen? But I kind of don't remember when he was a baby. I went over to my friend's apartment. They have a 2-month-old. And again, similar to when, we brought Jace home, I was like, what do I do a little bit? It's a little bit, it felt like kind of riding a bike or when you're having snowboarders.
It's kind of like being a founder.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like being a founder. It's like there's so much learning in so much short amount of time. And then all of a sudden it clicks. That learning curve is now over.
Yeah.
I would say it's even more accelerated as
an infant. Imagine starting another company.
Imagine having another kid.
Oh well, that I mean, that whole thought. I need to get through Jace's first birthday. On that note, I've been to first birthday parties before when I didn't have a kid, and honestly, between you and I and everyone else listening, I felt so awkward, and I also felt awkward for the kids. This kid doesn't even remember this, and all these parents are there singing, clapping. And I was like, is this really going to be me? I was like, I really, really, really hope not. But now I totally get it. I've not brought my son to a class yet just because it's typically during the weekday and I haven't had the opportunity, but watching how happy he is during these music classes or gym classes, the joy you get from that, I'm like, okay, like whatever you want to do for your birthday, whatever's going to make you happy, let's do. Not that he actually gives me any feedback yet, but right. It's so interesting to like think about like, prior to me being a parent, my thought on this moment and now where I am today, like if the pandemic wasn't going on, how my wife and I would think about how are we going to make him happy on this day?
Yeah. I don't remember the delivery so much. That feels so long ago. You know, obviously there are memories from that time, but it feels so long ago. But I do remember what feels more present is that positive anxiety of like, oh, I'm going to be a dad really mm-hmm. soon. And I'm sure Will is feeling that right now, about to have his first kid. So let's bring him in. Hey, Will, how you doing?
What's up, Will?
What's up, guys? Nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
The countdown is on. How are you feeling?
I feel good. We are, hold on, let me check the calendar date. We are 11 days out.
Wow. Man. I mean, you're the first expecting dad we're having on the pod. So yeah. We've had a bunch of new dads. We've had a dad 1 month in. You're our first expecting dad. So we're excited to get your, how you're feeling.
Well, the varying perspectives of those who actually recognize what it all means versus me who has no clue what I'm about to walk into. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Yeah. We're kind of trying to figure out how blind you are to reality or how in tune with reality you are. Maybe we might have to do a follow-up episode, I don't know, 6 months after and check in and see.
But let's just call a spade. I still don't really know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah,
so
facts.
Like, you know, I don't even remember how I felt when I was in your shoes and I still don't even know how I feel today. Like I have no idea if I'm a good dad, not a good dad. I assume
you're a great
dad,
Greg.
Oh, thanks, Michael. I really appreciate that. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
I do remember actually a little bit. I remember when it was like we reached full term and then it kind of felt like, oh, this should or could happen any day and it'd be okay. And so it could happen tomorrow or in an hour she can go into labor, or like we could still be 4 weeks away.
Right.
I mean, I went skiing on Monday with some friends of mine, and normally on ski days, I don't acknowledge my phone the entire day. And it was the first time where now we're close enough where when I'd get to the bottom of a run and I felt my phone buzzing, I always had to check just to make sure. And then I told my wife that later in the day and she's like, babe, you were skiing with your friends. I never would have bothered you in the middle of the day. And I was like, okay, you are an amazing wife, but also please bother me. Yeah,
that is amazing.
You've been carrying a child in you and you're not going to bother me if you go into labor.
Just
maybe you
I'm
don't
skiing?
Know what, like how your contractions are, you're going to feel. Yeah.
Honestly, like to that point, maybe I don't know exactly how I felt because there was such a finite date when my wife was going to have the kid.
Right.
My wife had a scheduled C-section. So like I knew the date. So it was more like, what are the steps I'm taking to get ready for that day?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know that like I have another friend of mine who's having a baby right now, same due date. I have another buddy who literally just had his baby yesterday morning. Jesse Darris, actually, you guys know Jesse.
Yeah, he was a guest.
And then obviously I have so many friends who have kids. And here's the thing, okay. With most things that you're preparing for, you can get advice from people. And the advice generally falls within a certain range, right? Like, in spite of the fact that one person might give differing advice from another person, it's all like within a reasonably tight lane. On this one, everyone has such vastly different perspectives on absolutely everything that we just stopped. We were like, all right, you know what? We're going to figure this out.
Yeah. I think that's a great outlook. It's partly because every kid is different, right? So like I can give you advice about XYZ thing and then you may just have a different experience. And you have to go with your experience and what feels right to you. I mean, Greg and I talk a lot about just like good parenting is what feels good to you, not based on any book or Google or whatever advice you're going to get from a friend necessarily.
Well, but I'm saying from the position I'm sitting in, yes, 100% you're right as far as parenting goes. I'm just
talking
about with like the preparation for the actual moment where you give birth. I mean, the range of experiences and like, I think it's so unbelievably funny to me, some of the stuff that people recommend you put in your go bag, which is what I've taken to call it. And some people are like, well, I'm like, you have the playlist figured out, right? I'm like, no, what are you talking about? I haven't like curated a playlist for like, we have clothes, we have a toothbrush.
Greg wasn't allowed in the hospital. So this is all foreign to him.
Somewhat. Other than I helped pack my... I know what her number one go-to thing was, though. Like, her number one piece of advice she got was a pillow.
A pillow.
A really good pillow.
That's a good advice. Yeah. What's in your bag? Did you make a playlist after you heard that?
No.
And is your bag packed already?
No, the bag is packed.
Okay.
And it's in the car. Clothes, a toothbrush... And we have snacks. We have lots of snacks. I mean, my friend,
the snacks were the most important. That was the most important thing. Yeah. 100%.
Wait, were you not allowed in the hospital because of COVID or because your wife just didn't want you in the hospital?
You know, a little bit of both. No, it was just strictly due to COVID. I was there for the delivery. And then as soon as my son was delivered, they're like, all right, you got to go. And then I went home for a couple of days.
That's hard.
While she stayed in the hospital completely solo. So was definitely... Interesting experience, but I got to live through some of it. I got to go see Mike's daughter when she was born. Yeah. So I got a little bit of a taste of it.
Wait, hold on. I know that I'm the interviewee here, but I'm really curious. In as much detail, what did you do when you were home alone in those 2 days? Like,
you want, okay. So
felt guilty.
This is a great question. So I got in my car and like I walked to like the lot where I parked. And I'm driving home. I just like felt super weird. So what did I do in my slightly like depressed state of not being there? I ordered Taco Bell in for delivery, which was, you know, like a low point and a high point. You know, I will admit I probably should have gotten it fresh. Getting it delivery was a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. But that was the first thing I did to drown my sorrows. Yeah, you know, I am fortunate. My brother and my sister-in-law live in the same apartment building as my wife and I. And they also have a kid, but their kid was not born yet. So, you know, my brother came up like immediately to just like hang out. And, you know, I think I had said this on a previous episode, like I didn't know if I should work, if I should like hang out. Like I was obviously trying to FaceTime my wife, but there was like nothing I could do that could remove the fact that I was not there with my wife and my kid. It was a really bizarre thing. It almost felt like at times like I didn't even have a kid, even though obviously I did.
Follow-up question. What did you order from Taco Bell?
Okay, so my father growing up, one of the first things he did like when I was born was he was the first franchisee of Taco Bell's in New Jersey. So I even had a dog named Taco. So I'm like a lifelong Taco Bell fan. I think that day I definitely got a cheesy gordita crunch. That is for sure.
Yeah.
There is a classic item that's called a Mexi Melt, which has been a staple for me. And then I don't know, maybe it got like one of those like Dorito tacos because those things are pretty fun too. I think I capped it at 3 this time. I didn't go too overboard, but that's my go-to.
We have a family relationship with Taco Bell as well. One of our favorite date nights historically was always to go get Taco Bell and smuggle it into the movie theater where we would watch anything starring The Rock. And then when I was running EMP Summer House in the Hamptons for our first anniversary, I'd like set up a surprise picnic where the entire team helped me do it on the beach. And the team at the restaurant made like Taco Bell, but you know, using our ingredients and the whole thing. And then they went as far as actually like hand creating Taco Bell labels. Wait, stay with me. This gets good. And so I posted a picture on Instagram of Christina holding the cheesy gordita crunch made by the cooks that live in Madison Park. And the executive chef of Taco Bell DM'd me on Instagram and he and I developed a relationship. Fast forward to her birthday that year, we were out in LA. I said, babe, I set up a reservation for us at this crazy restaurant. So don't eat breakfast today. It's like a crazy restaurant on the coast and it's going to be a long tasting menu. And we took over the test kitchen at Taco Bell for an entire afternoon and just got to create our own Taco Bell meal.
Wow.
Oh my God. This is my dream. Oh,
you know,
God.
What? If that were to happen to me, I would probably order Taco Bell too. So we have that in common.
I love it. I love it.
That's everything everybody needs to know about you, Will. Yeah. I'll tell you, do you guys have a like a birth plan? Like, is there like, have you read anything as a partner? Like,
no. So my wife is a gunner, right? Like she climbs mountains and runs marathons and does all this stuff. And the general perspective is, okay, I'm going to climb a mountain or I'm going to run a marathon and I'm just going to go up and do it. So we've gotten enough advice. We know where we're going to have the baby. We know, you know, all that stuff. We're ready to go. But beyond that, we're just in it together, and our birth plan is to be together and have a baby.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you from my experience, my wife was one of those hardcore, I'm not going to have an epidural people. And I don't know where Christina sits on this. She's now hardcore get an epidural.
Hmm.
And one of the best things that I read, actually, I read a book called, I read a book is definitely a lie. I skimmed a book 40% and that gave me all the information I knew. But there were a couple good things I picked up in those spark notes. Number one was, if they say, I can't do this, it was to say, you're already doing it. Hmm. You're already doing it. And the second was, for someone that like had a specific vision of how they wanted it to go down. And in my wife's case, no epidural, natural in quotes birth, because you know, all birth, you know, you end up naturally with a baby in some way, yeah, shape, or form, was to have like a safe word. So that, because the pain is so great, right? That just there's so many hormones and adrenaline, endorphins, all of that oxytocin flowing that like they can't see through the pain. It's that just out of body and, you know, new to them. It's just a different feeling that you need to really make sure when they tell you like they want to abandon their plan, that they really want to abandon their plan.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, there's a lot of psychological guilt after for people that abandon their plan. So if they're going to abandon, you want to make sure you're in it with them and you're not just like appeasing them in the moment and making them happy because you think that's what a good partner would do.
And was the safe word far enough out of the lexicon that there was no way it would mistakenly be used?
Yeah, we used our dog's name. So like if she was saying Maisie, which Maisie's in the studio right now, so if she barks, sorry. But if she said Maisie, that would be a really weird thing to say in the middle of a contraction.
Yeah.
Is that precisely what happened though?
I was like, there were a couple times where I like knew at the beginning, I was like, you're doing this, you're already doing it, you got it. If I said, you got it, she said, I don't got it. You know, and like the devil took over. Don't fucking say that. Don't be afraid. Like, you might get hit.
We were at dinner last night with a friend who has two kids. And she was talking about how her husband similarly tried to give her a pep talk. And she's like, well, just a few pieces of advice. My two best pieces of advice. As soon as you walk into the hospital, ask for a private room. And don't try to give her a pep talk.
Yeah. So one tip on the private, this is a private room tip. You tell them you want a private room if that's what you want. And you can't get it until the baby is born and weighed in.
Huh.
So you literally, like once you like hold the baby, maybe kiss her, you know, cry a little bit, whatever you're going to do. Then you have to like fucking sprint out of the room to the registration desk and give your credit card. God. It is the craziest. Like there should be an app for it or something.
Like supermarket sweep.
No, yeah. But it is wild. And you're like, please be a room. Let there be a room. I'll whatever. Like, let's do this. And yeah, you have to pray a little bit, but you have to like immediately rush to the and like lock it down.
Yeah. I mean, the way, so obviously I was not there. However, my wife's experience with the hospital during COVID was not the best one. So I tweeted at the hospital quite a bit until their customer experience team like continued to reach out to me over and over and over, because I was tweeting about our experience. I'd been like literally kicked out of the hospital for 3 hours before her delivery. And then by the time my son came, and he was obviously in her arms during the hospital, there weren't enough nurses. The nursery wasn't open. My wife was by herself. So I kept tweeting to at Mount Sinai, this is what's going on. Someone called my wife and ended up getting her a private room, because at that time they said private rooms were only for new moms who had COVID.
So you solved the problem just through some simple rage tweeting.
Yes.
And then Greg ended up on tweeting. Fox News.
Yes, I was on Fox 5 News at 10 o'clock about parents giving up, or like spouses and you know, their experiences. Giving up like that. I was on the 10 p.m. Fox 5 News.
So Greg's advice is avoid doing anything too publicly that will get you on Fox News explaining your birth experience.
We did get a plug for Lalo though. So yeah. that was pretty good.
I was about to ask. Yeah, you better.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But you know, maybe looking forward a little bit past the birth. I know, you know, that's probably all you can think about right now, and the joy of welcoming your child to the world and, you know, hoping they're healthy and all of that is probably top of mind. But, you know, I know you were pretty close with your parents, and you're you know, I imagine you are thinking a lot about how you want to be a dad. Mm-hmm. Are there any lessons that stick out to you that you learned from your parents that you hope you pass on to your child or your children?
Man, yes, the short answer is yes. My dad is my mentor. Everything that I am as a leader in my businesses is inspired by how he raised me and how he led his. And it's interesting because I think a lot about leadership and fatherhood and the overlap between those two, because I do think that there's quite a bit in common based on watching, you know, like I have friends with 2-year-olds and friends with 15-year-olds and friends with 20-year-olds. And in the same way, I think that anyone who's a student in life is always studying how other people approach things and trying to, you know, almost curatorially decide which approaches one person takes that you want to adopt into your own approach and which approaches one person takes that you don't want to. I've certainly been doing that with my dad. I mean, when I was a kid, I'll kind of give like the top four. First of all, no means no. That was a big thing in my family. And it's something I hope I have the discipline as a father to embody. It's easy as a leader of people in a business. I think especially I'm having a daughter, like it might be hard to actually hold on to no means no, but
it is.
But then I see people who have not been great at that and how much more difficult that makes life later. And I think it kind of takes away from the person's ability to live with as much integrity as they want to. I think no means no is extraordinarily important. My dad, when I was a kid, I don't remember how old I was, but you get to a certain point in life where you start to focus on the word can't, where you start to be overwhelmed by or focusing on all the things you can't do versus all the things you can do. My dad was like super intentional, aggressively intentional. And so when that season of my life came, he printed up all these little fortune cookie paper size things that says success comes in cans, failure comes in can'ts. Which kind of, it was like an intense way to do it. But his whole thing was like, the word can't doesn't exist. He also gave me a paperweight, which became the mantra of my company for the past 11 years. And on it, it said, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? My dad just always raised me in a way that whatever I wanted to do, I could do so long as I had the courage and conviction to say it out loud. And if you're taught that with enough consistency early in life, it opens the potential of the world in like this beautiful, overwhelmingly technicolor-like way. And I hope that I'm able to give that to my child as well. And then I think the last thing was, he was always just super intentional. He always wanted me to have goals, not that those goals couldn't change. And he never pressured me to focus on a certain set of goals. But he always, like, it's kind of a segue or a follow-up from the second one, that if I could dream big, recognizing that it would take time to achieve those dreams, then he knew how to support me in getting there. And so, yeah, I think discipline, no means no, and the inevitable integrity of a human being that comes from being taught that early on, recognizing that you can do whatever you want so long as you have the courage and conviction to say it out loud, and accomplishing those goals only comes if you pursue them with intention. And so whether that's as something as small as what a child accomplishes between 2 and 3, or as big as what they go on to accomplish later in life, I want to be a good teammate. I want to be a good coach. I want to be a good friend.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the things I recently realized, even with my son's small milestones, which might be like he has started to crawl, is that it's amazing how their accomplishments also become your accomplishments very quickly. Even those small things, and like those things of, you know, obviously your tutelage, leadership, you know, the way you are as a father and helping them achieve that is like literally no greater joy. And I've only seen that on the most minuscule of scales at this point, which like he's now crawling and I'm like, come on, Jace, like crawl to me. Almost similar to how I talk to my dog sometimes, which is slightly embarrassing. But just watching him also then get happy that he has now done something is the greatest feeling in the world. So I think a lot of that definitely holds true. You know, both you and Christina, you know, you've grown your own businesses separately. in the food and hospitality industry. You know, as you guys think about your roles as parents, how do you guys think about that division of labor? Is there something, is that something you guys have spoken about before? Do you guys think of it of like who's working the front of the house and who's working the back of the house? How have you guys thought about that?
You know, Christina and I are a great team. I've always talked about like on the team I work with professionally, the core group of us, the five of us have worked together for, man, like 10, 15 years each. And so we talk about how we've been doing it long enough that we have this ability to have a no huddle offense. Like we know what each other's strengths and weaknesses are to the point where we can just do it. And we know that the other person's there and we know what each of us is going to do. And it's always kind of been the same with me and Christina, even though I guess Christina and I have been together for like 8 years or something. And so we know that one person steps it up when the other person's tired. And we haven't gotten into the level of like intentionality where, okay, you're going to do these three things and I'm going to do these three things. But I don't know, I have a ton of trust and faith that we're going to figure it out. And I have enough awareness to know that there's going to be a bunch of speed bumps along the way and we're going to have to talk them through. I think through COVID, one of the silver linings has been space and time for communication in a way that there wasn't before. And we've gotten better at addressing things quickly and not letting unemotional things become emotional. And I think that that's a superpower that will be tested dramatically in the months to follow, but it's also one that I think will help us succeed.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome. I mean, you guys are experienced people, right? You know, pre-COVID, people go on baby moons, things like that. Is there anything you guys did to get away this past year or before the baby came? Did any traveling?
No, I mean, I feel like our life has been a baby moon. You know, like we've been living up in the country. We had our big final proper night out. I'm in the city right now where I have not been in the city very much for the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got a group of our closest friends and we went to Carbone for dinner last night. That was kind of like our last hurrah. But no, you know, I've never been, nor has she, the type of people that like spend all of our time looking forward to vacation or planning these moments that are meant to be the exclamation points within the year. Rather, we try to make sure that every day is a really beautiful blend of intense work and intense fun. And so we didn't have like, all right, we're going, like I have friends who even this year with COVID went on their baby moon vacations and we were like, let's just try to make every day a little bit vacation-y.
That's, I love that. I was trying to get my wife to go on a baby moon because I was like, selfishly, I was like, come on, like this is, you know, this is for us. Like, let's do it. My wife goes, I can't drink. I can't eat anything I want. She was like, what type of vacation is that for me? Like, yeah. I'm not going to fully enjoy it. So, but I need to get some of this. How can we make every day a little bit of vacation into our life? Sometimes when you have a baby, honestly, it's hard to, you definitely forget that just because, you know, you're putting so much of yourself outside of you and your wife is now given to your kid. And it's always important to, you know, take a step back and make sure you're still, you know, fulfilling some of the things that obviously the both of you want to do together. It's so important.
I mean, for us, like, and listen, I'm not completely ignorant to how much I don't know about what's about to happen in my life. I know that as much as I think I understand things, then I'm probably way off in a bunch of different ways. I think that, you know, COVID, one of the things that's dangerous about the last 12 months is how much work and life are blended together. And with the way that the two of us work, it was very easy to just be working until like 10 p.m. and then go to bed and then wake up and start working all over again, just go straight, like without like the hard delineating lines that normally have separated work and life. We're both like pretty hardworking people. So if you're not careful, work can take over life. And so when I say vacation, like that could be as small as just playing two games of backgammon before bed. You know what I mean? And I think with intention, even with the intensity of parenting, there's still space to carve out 15 minutes to make sure that you have like a little bit of connection and play to. We've always said from the moment we started dating that we're excited to have kids and we want to make sure that we don't lose each other in pursuit of the child. So we'll see how we do.
You'll do great. I have no doubt, Will. I remember observing you at the Union Square Play Holiday Market last year and playing Play-Doh with, I think, was it your nieces?
Yeah. Cousins, basically. Yeah. But
cousins.
Yeah.
And I remember you with these two little girls just sitting down and eating donuts and observing you doing Play-Doh with them and the connection that you made with them. And I have no doubt that same kind of fun you brought to them in that moment, that you'll bring that to your child every day, and you know, plus, plus, plus. So thank you so much for joining us. Good luck. We wish you so much joy and strength in the delivery, and just enjoy the moment.
Thank you, guys. No, and I'll be sure to send you some good My Baby X Lalo pictures in the not too distant future.
Yeah, perfect.
There you go.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for tuning into the Dad Pod. Let us know who you want to hear on the pod next by DMing us on Instagram at Lalo, that's L-A-L-O, or emailing us at dadpod@meetlalo.com. We'll catch you next week with a brand new episode.